All right, it's a good morning. Welcome to the tech show. Of course, in this show, we investigate the technology issue. And today we are going to look at the most powerful discussion. And that is, we are going to look at the disadvantages and advantages of, the blockchain technology. The blockchain technology. Blockchain technology, or this term blockchain, came because of data. It is a system of where data is stored in blocks. So it's a chain of data that is stored in blocks. That's why it is called blockchain. And of course, it's upon blockchain that cryptocurrency is built. Cryptocurrency is built on blockchain. So we are going to look at the disadvantage and the advantages of blockchain technology. So it's a process of data that is stored in blocks. It's a process of data that is stored in blocks, and then it is linked together to form a chain. And when these blocks are full, a new block is formed again with new data. So that's why it is called blockchain. I hope I have simplified the explanation, but of course, if you have a better one, if you have a better explanation about blockchain, you come through and we'll talk about it. You can come through and we can talk about it. This is a talk radio station, a talk show. It's not left up to me. All the time when I come on the show, I always give people rights, to challenge what I'm talking about. Because I know that, I can never be, intimidated by anyone, because you have what you know what you know, and then we know what we know here. So when we put what we know together, it makes us great. So we share knowledge. We share knowledge in a conversation. So it's a conversation, and that's why I'm saying, if you come through and I realize I'm wrong, I'll be the first person to admit that. Okay, having said that, we are now looking at the block, because look, when it comes to cryptocurrency and blockchain, or blockchain technology upon which cryptocurrency is built, many people have hopes that cryptocurrency will change the game. Many people have hope that, with cryptocurrency, it will bring independence to most people who want to partake in the mainstream economy, and there is no way out. I mean, they don't have a way to get in. Because, with a fiat currency, and that is, of course, hard cash, people feel that there is a, there are a lot of limitations. People feel that there are a lot of limitations with hard cash. When you have the digital money, because digital money is accessible to everyone. Unlike fiat currency, you have to work very hard. But I don't see the difference, you know, because for you to earn that digital money, you should also work very hard. So there's hard work everywhere. And actually, from my findings, cryptocurrency, building it, or having trading in Bitcoin and Ethereum, whatever that one, that coin is, the type of, coin that you are dealing with, and there are a lot of them, is more stressing, because you need to understand the technical side of it, you need to understand the fundamental side of it, when do you need to start trading, and so forth. But with hard money, with hard cash, whether the US dollar goes up or down, you still have your money. But with digital currency, when the US dollar goes up, when it goes down, there's a point where when you lose your money, and you can lose it all, depending on whether you understand what you are doing or not. So that's something. Whether you understand the value of money, if you sweep a yard, or if you go and rake a yard there, or you go and cut some bushes in the yard, you get your $300, you spend it. But with Bitcoin, it seems that you need to understand a little bit of what you are doing from a technical and from a fundamental point of view, and that becomes problematic. So, and some people, some experts are saying we are likely to see people depressed even more. We are likely to see people stressed even more because of the competition that comes with these issues of cryptocurrency. But some are saying, look, cryptocurrency is not in anybody's, it's not in a physical currency. Therefore, it's not bound to sanctions. It's not bound to politics. It's not bound to external circumstances like politics, conflict, war, whatever. And that's why, around March, April, there were calls for Russia to be removed from Bitcoin or from cryptocurrency, and it could not work, because which cryptocurrency are you going to remove Russia from if cryptocurrencies are created every day? So which one are you going to remove Russia from? And what, and who is Russia when it comes to cryptocurrency? When you are talking about Russia, you're talking about millions of Russians. And each of them have different accounts, a blockchain account, or whatever it is called. So how are you going to, that's going to be too much. And it was an emotional cry from Ukraine, from America, from everywhere. It was an emotional cry, but it did not work because it was because of the complexity of blockchain technology. So now let's talk about one block in a chain, because we said that blockchain is data that is stored in blocks, and then you link them up to create a chain. So if that interpretation of blockchain technology is correct, let's look at it. So it's a network of decentralized and distributed data. That's blockchain. A network of decentralized and distributed data. How do you politicize that? How do you become successful in limiting a country from accessing blockchain? How on earth are you going to do that? So this was an emotional cry from Ukraine and the West, but it did not work. So now, blockchain stores data in block. in blocks. Link them up, they are linked up, and then a chain is created. So now, let's say in one chain has 25 blocks that has made up, or 25 block, and it makes up one chain or one blockchain. Now, if my analogy be correct here, we'll say each block must have 1 terabyte of data. So, and there are 25 of them. So you need a superpower algorithm to run through all 25 blocks in a chain to be able to scrutinize which account is Russian and to delete it. And that is complex. I don't think there is capacity yet to do that. So there are things that sanction do not make sense. You know, there are areas of life as far as technology is concerned where sanctions will not make sense. And it is actually in the area of blockchain. Sanction when it comes to cryptocurrency will not make sense. Because this blockchain technology is decentralized. It's a decentralized distribution of data. So there is nobody at the end there saying you are the owner of blockchain to dictate who comes in and who goes out. No. So that is a game of everyone. And that's why there is no government in the world that is able to facilitate the use of cryptocurrency. In fact, many governments are afraid of that because they know they will not have control over, you know, who does what, who becomes rich and all that. There'll be no monopoly. And with a capitalist monopoly system, there must be somebody at the end there determining who becomes rich, who becomes what. And that does not play well with cryptocurrency. So having said that, now we move forward, but I'm saying you can come through 0832-888-401. I'll open my lines in 12 minutes time. And we have a conversation. How you understand blockchain and how you think blockchain or cryptocurrency will be a game changer in the world. Maybe how I think it will be a game changer is because there will be independent accessibility to it. It will create an independent access or provide an independent access to digital currency, unlike, you know, with fiat currency. It's a hard cash. Well, at the same time, I would highlight a problem. It would increase, I think there will be more stress. There will be more depression. Because with cryptocurrency, you need to understand a bit of what you are doing. You don't just set up you don't take a computer and then say you are trading with Bitcoin when you don't understand. You'll be giving away your money. But it's the most secure technology so far. It is not prone to sanctions. It's not prone to, you know, politics. So when it comes to the issue of crypto transactions, it also secures a centralized or a decentralized it maintains a decentralized and a secure model of crypto transaction. It creates a decentralized and secure system of crypto transaction. So let's look at the advantage of blockchain database. I will look at it from a database point of view, but when you come in, you can always expand it to however level you want to look at it from. Now, the first most powerful advantage of blockchain is its immutability. So it is immutable, which means nobody can erase data from there. And nobody can come and tamper with the data. And that's why it was impossible for sanctions against Russia as far as the blockchain technology is concerned, because of its immutability. It's immutable. You cannot change, which immutable means unchangeable. So you cannot tamper with data, and you cannot tamper with the data. So it is impossible to erase or change recorded data, and it makes it impossible for tampering of data in the network or within that network of blockchain. So, but the non-blockchain database has a CRUD, which means create, read, let me just get it right here. Yes. Create, read, update, and delete. So that's a non-blockchain database. So you create the data, you read the data, you update it, or you are able to delete it, which means you are able to tamper with any data in that non-blockchain database network. But with the blockchain database network, you are not able to read, you are not able to, you know, delete the data or to tamper it. That also means that you might as well not be able to update it. So that's how powerful a blockchain, you know, database is concerned. I mean, it is. Now, the second one, number two is it is decentralized. So everybody can get in there. Any network member can verify the data that is recorded in the blockchain. So this means there is transparency in the way data is dealt with. So the public can trust this network. But a non-blockchain database, number one, it is centralized, and number two, it's not transparent, and number three, no one can get in there and verify the data that is recorded. So that's a traditional database is not transparent, and it is not, you know, nobody can get into there to verify the recorded data, and at the same time, no one really can tell whether the process is transparent or not. So at the same time, I mean, at this moment, we can say it's not transparent. So there, the administration, which has centralized this network of non-blockchain database, will select which data to go to the public and which not to go to the public. and therefore nobody can get in there and verify the data. So which means there is no transparency in that process of a traditional database. So it was difficult then, it becomes difficult, you know, this blockchain database is not prone to sanctions. Right. Now, blockchain technology is free from censorship, which means this technology or database is decentralized to the point that there is no authority or government or powers that is controlling this network of data. So it has no single authority party, including governments that are able to interrupt the processes of this network. When it comes to traditional database like YouTube and others, and the centralized authorities can censor. They can decide which data to go public, which one is not, which one to block. So there will be censorship because this is traditional database and is controlled by a certain authority or certain party and certain power with a certain, you know, with a certain interest. And that's when you see, for example, banks can, you know, suspend users' account. Your Twitter can be suspended. Your Facebook page can be blocked. Your YouTube account can be, you know, blocked, whatever, etc. And that's when you saw, you know, even during the sanctions, Russia, Iran, North Korea, South, Venezuela, other countries can be blocked from certain systems because these systems are not central, are not decentralized. They are centralized with systems in place and censorship in place and, you know, with various authorities and powers that are having interest in the control of those, you know, traditional database networks. The second one is traceability. Or the traceability, which means you can trace, it allows you to trace data and your use of data. It creates an irreversible audit trails. You know, it creates an irreversible audit trail, allowing easy tracing of changes on the network. The traditional database is not immutable and is also not transparent. And therefore, no permanent trail is guaranteed in a traditional database. We are now done with the advantages of blockchain. And after a short break, we are going to look at the disadvantages of blockchain database. Now, we were looking at it parallel to, you know, the, we were looking at it parallel to the traditional database system. Right. We shall go for a short break.
On August 26, Namibia remembers the heroes whose blood waters our freedom. So to ensure that their blood was not shed in vain, commit yourself to live a life worthy of their sacrifice. Vow to honor our heroes by driving sober, adhering to the speed limit, wearing a seatbelt, regularly checking your tires, and being a responsible pedestrian. Join the movement and honor our heroes. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Vasco Sartutoze Pahami, Iriva International University of Management, IUM. Bamile Msakuri, Limorisa Zasilimo Sestatama, Sa 2023, Rikwaluzwi, Matutoze Pahami Zechwaleka, Education, Health and Social Sciences, Information and Communication Technology, Strategic Management and Leadership, Tourism, Hospitality and Event Management, Business Administration, Environmental Studies, and Postgraduate Studies. Hamu bataguzi batabakafela kabutungi. Mukwaruleri kepela, www.ium.edu.na. Kapa, mupotele lwefisi zerivu kaofi. Mamre nengi wa winduk, tolopo yankure nkuru. Ongwe ndiva, ni Wallabies Bay. Kapa, mulize ze nomboro ye tatama. 061-433-6000. Hamzula Piri, Mukete Hande, Nukuzula Piri Niva IUM.
Hello Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
What is your take?
Let all of us sit around the table, discuss our differences.
All right, we continue. Now let's look at the disadvantages of blockchain. But look, you can come through 083-288-401 if you want to add something or, you know, disagree with something that, you know, we have been talking about in the past 30 minutes. And if you have something you can throw in to say how you think, you know, blockchain technology will, you know, what makes you think that you want to support or you support the use of blockchain technology massively, you know, and over traditional databases. We have said that the traditional databases have a tendency of censorship, where people don't like what you are saying, but what you are saying is true, but people don't just like it, you know. You might not be posted, or you post it on a certain place, and it might be deleted. You know, or there is no transparency. Here, certain information is, you know, sifted, and then it is refined, so that, you know, certain things are cut out, and then, you know, then a lot of things are omitted. When they reach to the public, it's half truth, because somebody doesn't want, you know, this certain information to be out. Now, when we come to the disadvantages, we look at one of the most challenging disadvantages of, or one of the most challenging setbacks. One of the most powerful setbacks in blockchain technology, or blockchain database, rather, is the speed and performance. You know, unlike the traditional databases are very fast, but blockchain database is very slow because it has a lot of operations. I can tell you that if you are operating on a blocks, for example, well, the analogy that I gave, and I'm giving it again, it is in for debate though, that if one block consists of, or if one chain consists of 25 blocks that made up that chain, or that make up that chain, that 25 blocks consist each of the block consists of, or is worth, you know, 20 or 200 or 2 million terabyte of data. Some are even saying zettabyte. So the operation there is very complex, and therefore there will be slowness. There will be the performance will be slow. So it also relies on consensus mechanism to validate the data or transactions, and it also performs signature verifications that are built on or that involves, you know, It involves you signing, you know, signatures cryptographically, and then you also need, you need consensus to validate the transactions. You need a mechanism, the consensus mechanism, to validate the transaction. And there is also redundancy in the network, where, you know, it is each node is required to perform certain tasks. In as far as verifying and storing those transactions are concerned, so that's a complex process. And much of it is, you know, technical for, you know, us lay people to understand. So much of it is technical for us lay people to understand. But, you know, that's the complexity of it in terms of its performance and its speed. Then secondly, we look at the cost. High implementation cost. for businesses to integrate, you know, a blockchain into their process, it's a huge investment that they need to put on the table. So, traditional database, traditional database are cheaper. So they are cheaper. The database are cheaper in traditional, the conventional database that we have. Those are cheaper to build up because any company can build a database without any cost at all, or at low cost if there is any cost involved. But for businesses to interact or to integrate blockchain system into their processes, they need to up their investment. And it's a lot of money. And when it comes to the complexity of data modification, this becomes problematic because once data is recorded and coded in the blocks, it cannot be modified. So for you to modify data on a blockchain technology, it will require you to rewrite the codes in all the blocks, which is time consuming and very expensive. So the downside of this whole technology is that it is hard to make corrections and make necessary adjustment with blockchain technology. So it is difficult because if you have to sit down and rewrite all the codes in 40 blocks that make up a chain or 100 blocks that make up a chain, that will be time consuming. And it is expensive. But with traditional database, you just go into the database, correct the information. You are gone. You are good to go. 18 minutes to 12, 0832-888-401. That's the number in studio if you want to be part of the conversation. So traditional database here, you know, to correct mistakes and to make necessary adjustments, it will not cost you anything. It will cost you lesser time and it will be more cheaper compared to compared to blockchain technology. So, there is no one size fits all. There is no one size fits all. And most of us think that a certain technology is coming to be 100% game changer. Once we have this technology, in Namibia, once we have this technology, we are going to be. There is nothing like that. So we always need to look at the up and down sides of it. Then we weigh whether at this moment in time, is it viable for us to have this technology? Like, is it really for a business? Is it a necessity now to hastily start talking about blockchain technology? Is it a necessity? How is it coming to improve, you know, our processes, making our life as far as work is concerned easier? So all those things need to be put in mind before one decides to jump on the technology bandwagon. Before we jump in a wagon, we need to understand the pros and the cons Most of us, we only focus on the pros and we neglect the cons. Once we have a balance of the cons and the pros, then we make a decision based on, you know, the con, the based on both negative and the positive impact of that type of technology on our work. You see, most people are excited. And most people are excited to move from what, from a technology called Web 2.0 to Web 3. I'll call my colleague here. He understands this type of things very well, to come and explain what Web 2.0 is and Web 3 is. But many people want to move there. Many people want to, many people want to adjust. Many people want to upgrade to a new technology, to the latest technology too. You know, we want to move into fourth industrial revolution politically. But have we exhausted the third industrial revolution? Have we exhausted the third industrial revolution? What is the need for us to move into a next development or a next technology? Do we really have guarantee that that technology is going to do what we are not able to do now? Well, changing from one technology to the other is good, but it's not an up game shift solution. I think we need to do our homework. It could be that the systems that we are having now, we are actually underutilizing them, and we want to jump to the new systems. So it could be that we are underutilizing what we have. You know, for us to upgrade is because we have seen that, okay, when we upgrade, this is how successful we are going to be. But in most cases, from a marketing point of view, from a PR point of view, you know, technology is presented in a very exciting way. But artificial intelligence is great. Robotics are great. Deep learning is great. Machine reasoning is great. Artificial general intelligence is great. 5G is good. And some are even talking about 6G. But have we exhausted 4G? Have we all benefited from 4G? Because as far as we are concerned, 4G doesn't also have latency. We can stream live with a 4G. We don't have 4G. I don't think there is 5G here in Windhoek yet. But whatever we have, we are using it to stream. You can actually literally sit in an office on a Zoom meeting until it is done without any latency at all, or without any interference in terms of connectivity, unless if there is a glitch somewhere, which is understood. Understandable. But I'm saying, my argument is, there's a danger in making hasty decisions as far as the adoption and the adjustment or the upgrading to the new technology is concerned. I think we need to sit down and check our systems. Do we need a new technology, or do we need to improve the way we do our work with the current technology? It's like saying you are going to get a new wife when the problem is you. So what you need to do there, you don't need a new wife. You need to change. Because even if you get a new wife, if you don't change, you'll be the same person. So if the problem is within you, change. Find out what that problem is and change. So the problem is not with the current technology that we have. The problem is with how we are using it. Whether or not we are using it to the full capacity, to the full potential. Because even if we change to... Because I even hear a minister saying, Fourth Industrial Revolution will enhance economic growth. I said, okay, that's good, politically. But practically, economic growth, that the economic, there are countries that have grown economically with 2G. You know? There are countries that have grown economically in the Third Industrial Revolution or in the Second Industrial Revolution. There are countries that are growing economically now. So if we only hope for 4G to, for Fourth Industrial Revolution to come and then we think we are going to grow economically, that's not correct. And that's not true. Now that becomes false hope. Just like to say, you know, when everybody gets vaccinated, and the people got back to normalcy and then the economy will grow. No, some people's economy were growing even during the COVID-19. So it's not really about what is to come, whether or what is coming is going to work, but it's how you are using what you have now. How you are using what you have now determines whether you are going to use what is coming better. You know, there are people that do construction. When they don't have, for example, these new machines of concrete mix, the new concrete mixers, there are people that can build, but. Somebody saying, if I get that machine, you'll see how I'm going to do the work. But comes the machine, the person is still not doing the work. Because the problem is not in the machine that he doesn't have. The problem is within himself. If he's able to use what he has now. So, and there is a biblical verse that says, to him that has, more will be given. But to him that does not have, even which that he has will be taken away from him. So let's use the technology that we have to the potential. And then when we have used it to the full potential and full maximum, that's when we can now see the need for a new technology. See, that's when we can see a need for the new technology, because we have used up the technology that we have to the full capacity or to the full potential. We have. That's when we say, okay, there is a need for 5G because 4G cannot serve us in this regard. Or there is a need for artificial intelligence, for example, because what we have now can only but go this far. So we need better. For somebody who's saying, I need a better car, is because they've used up their car. Or I need a bigger car, because they've seen that this car has no capacity to carry what the load that they want to be carrying around. So if somebody wants to buy, you know, you have a bucky, you say, no, and a trailer. So no, it's better just to buy a small truck that I can use to carry all my stuff at once without coming back for. So I'll be carrying my stuff at once in a small truck. Then you keep improving because there is a need for improvement. Sometimes we improve without a need. We don't, there's no need for us to upgrade to something. We just go up with the trend because the world is going. We forget that the world has been developing without what we are calling for. So I'm not an anti-fourth industrial revolution. No, it's a great revolution. But what I'm saying is, have we exhausted the third? The answer will be no. We are still developing. So if we think that we are going to be fully develop in the fourth industrial revolution when we can't develop now, it's a problem. That's a problem. Now, that's the same thing with blockchain. Before you move to blockchain as a company, have you exhausted your conventional systems that are in place? Certainly not. So what is that thing or that reason, you know, for you to improve, for you to desire to improve to the next system when your own system, you know, is underutilized? When your systems are underutilized, so it becomes, you know, certain websites, when you go there, they have posted something 6 months ago or 3 months ago, 6 weeks ago. So there's no consistency in new information. And the next time you will hear this person saying, we need to change a system. So you wonder if we are really aware of what we have. And how we are using what we have. So you can't demand for a bigger field if the smaller field that you have, you do not cultivate it fully. You know? You can't demand for a bigger space if you are not using the space that you have to the full capacity. You demand for a bigger place because you have planned, you know, you have plans for that place. And most technology, you know, technology is exciting, it's fascinating, and most of it just become fantasy, you know, just emotional fantasy that, you know, we are the first company to have artificial intelligence. But if you really get into the practical sense of it, you find out that these people are just excited for this, but this will not even come and be solutions. So there was something that I was, you know, crying to have, and when I had it, I realized I didn't need this thing. I was just excited because of the way it was presented. This device, I actually don't need it. So, and when I got a smart cane, I realized, no. I think I just need this traditional cane. Because the person who, like me, who walks roughly, you know, I don't need a digital cane or a smart cane. You know, smart canes are for those guys who, you know, who walk, you know, carefully. They walk with care. For me, I walk, you know, I walk roughly. And that is one thing that will not change in me. I walk very roughly. So a smart cane will not work for me. That technology will not work for me, where I have to, you know, rely on the phone for the map and all that. It will waste my time. Because I walk roughly, and I don't care what is on my way as long as I get to where I want to go. So that thing where you have to, you know, facial recognition system, and it tells you what is on your way and what.
Root out corruption from Namibia.
Corruption is harming the people of this country. When people ask you to do something you know you should not do for their benefit and offers you something in exchange, like a bribe, that is corruption. Corruption causes poverty. Corruption causes unfair and weak service delivery. Corruption affects your welfare. You can make a difference. Say no to corruption. This message is sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Foundation and supported by Forum for the Future.
Right. So, well, of course, as I end to say, you know, it will just waste my time. So let's look at the need. Let's look at what we have. And how we are using what we have determines whether we need something new or not. Because we cannot be at the same pace with others, because others have been developing and now they see a need to upgrade. And I don't think there is any need for us, you know, to follow suit. You know, yeah, but that one is, of course, debatable. I was giving everyone more chance to come through. But, of course, let's meet at other platforms and engage. And my time here has come to a halt. This was a Friday edition of Tech. And we are going to meet again next week, Monday, on our Tech Show. Stay tuned. Make sure that you don't drink and drive. Make sure that your tires and everything about your car is correctly in order. And you follow all this, you know, traffic protocols so that you arrive to your destination safely. And till that time when we have to meet, from me, I would really be sad by saying goodbye, but at the same time, I would be happy by saying I'm going to meet you again next time.